Okay, this is pretty awesome. So if you are into science-backed products when it comes to your health, your gut health, but also woman-owned products, I must introduce you to Equilibria. I'm so thankful I discovered them this year. I mean, Equilibria, they help you take on your wellness journey knowing that you have a dedicated one-on-one support to help you achieve your goals. So it's not like you're just taking a pill mindlessly. You actually get one-on-one support. That's awesome. And their signature product, which is EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense, it comes in a convenient 3-in-1 capsule form. And so this is specifically formulated to bolster digestive health and fortify gut barrier protection, among other benefits. And we know that a balanced gut not only enhances our immunity, but also contributes to our overall mental well-being and our quality of sleep, of course, having efficient digestion and even radiant skin. But what distinguishes Equilibria's probiotic supplement is its meticulous selection, which is tailored to women's health needs. And of course, like I said, science-backed, and they're also ensuring affordability without compromising potency. And as someone who once struggled pretty severely with gut health issues for years, I intensified my focus on gut health in, I'd say, around 2020. And I'm thrilled to have recently discovered these products this year, as of course, they're backed by research for women's well-being, they're women-owned, and they support overall microbiome health, warding off harmful bacteria and enhancing our nutrient absorption. So head to myeq.com and use code MAGIC for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com. And use code MAGIC at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. I'm all about that fuss-free glam. Give me makeup that's versatile and feels like air on my skin and has ingredients that love my face, that's good for my face. You know, clean ingredients. And don't even get me started on mascaras because I do want them bold and lengthening. And so we have Thrive Cosmetics, which I've been using since 2020, obviously because I appreciate their foolproof products that make it really easy to apply for any skill level. And they have a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look, but also they give back. Every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive, hence why it's Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E, Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare are not just makeup brands, they're a whole vibe. They're all about empowering us to rock our confidence, and when you support them, we are helping other communities thrive. Their stuff is not only easy to use, but no nasties, zero parabens, sulfites, phthalates. They are 100% vegan and cruelty-free. Let's talk lashes. Thanks to Thrive's liquid lash extensions, I must say that my lashes are just so beautiful and lush. It adds length, there are no clumps, and also guess what? It slides right off with warm water, so no raccoon eyes here. And I appreciate they have nourishing ingredients that support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And it's a unique formula they use that creates these tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. We've had problems in the past with the link, but the link does work now. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order.
I'm a big believer that money is a spiritual tool. When you think about it, it is one of the greatest connectors of all of us. And if we're on the spiritual path, we realize that what we're trying to do is come back to us. And I say us as one. And money is a way that connects us, just like the internet does as well. So we need to understand that money is just energy, and it's a representation of who we are and what we value and what's important to us. And we need to have a really positive relationship with it. Because when we have a high vibrational relationship with energy, because that's effectively what it is, it goes and it has an impact on other people.
Now let the magic begin. Hello and Jai Ma Yomis. It's Raquel and welcome to Your Own Magic, a soul expanding and heart opening podcast. And in this episode is sponsored by Skillshare, who have extended their free trial offer for Your Own Magic listeners from 2 weeks to 1 month free. So more on Skillshare in the show notes and in the midst of the episode. You know, supporting them also supports the show. So thank you so much. And today's show is wildly unique. We talk about becoming more financially happy, and I'll insert here free, becoming more financially happy and free, and taking a sabbatical for the soul, and practicing intentionality daily. And what I found fascinating were the 12 different financial saboteurs to help you figure out which one of these 12 archetypes you may potentially be, and how to break free from this behavior so you can be, like the overall theme, more financially happy and free, and also some actionable steps towards becoming more financially free. And the one that is here to provide all the golden nuggets of wisdom on this subject is the brilliant Finian Kelly. Finian is dubbed as the business mystic because of his unique ability to integrate spirituality and finances, which I'm very much here for. And he's the creator and chief visionary officer of intentionality.com. And he spent 7 years in the Australian Defense Force and graduated from one of the most prestigious leadership organizations in the world, the Royal Military College of Duntroon. I hope I pronounced that right. Anyway, he appeared on Sky Business, on ABC as a political commentator, and on morning shows as a financial expert. And also, Finian has appeared on a National Geographic documentary, Undercover Angel, which he talks about briefly in our rapid fire round, I believe. So fascinating, well-rounded financial business mystic. Anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I have an inkling of a feeling that you will too. Whether your physical bank account reflects your financial freedom in this moment or not, there is still so much to take away, and at least you'll feel like you're on the trajectory to that financial abundance that you so deserve, which I used to struggle with being okay with being a spiritual person while also being more financially free and successful. For some reason, I used to have a hard time grappling with that. So one of my saboteurs of the 12 archetypes that Finian will lay out is the repellent. So you'll hear about this. You'll hear more about this down the line in the midst of the episode. Anyway, if you are not subscribed to Your Own Magic, well, feel free to subscribe on your podcast app. And if you feel the nudge from the uni to leave a rating and review, that would mean the absolute world. I'd love to hear from you. And I want to actually do another giveaway for a free subscription to the Your Own Magic website. So simply send a screenshot of your review to hello@yourownmagic.life, and I'll announce the winner the first Monday of August. Anyway, I also wanted to thank the following listeners for sending their review and letting them know that they won last week's Alana Fairchild Oracle Deck giveaway. And so thank you so much, Freya A, Jessica D, Carla N, Christy H, and Nicole J. Thank you so much for your beautiful reviews. Just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Means the absolute world, of course. And so you won the Oracle deck, my favorite Oracle deck. I'm inkling of a feeling you're gonna find a lot of magic and inspiration like I have using this deck as well. Anyway, let's move on with the show, shall we? And now, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Finian Kelly. I will begin right here. I'm going to ask the very first question that I've been asking all the Your Own Magic guests lately. What is lighting you up most in this season of your life?
So Raquel, what's lighting me up most is this idea of a sabbatical. I have just started a sabbatical. I'm in Nicaragua right now. And this is something I've tried a number of times and I've come up against myself. It's interesting. I've sold 3 companies in my life. I used to be an army officer. So I've had these breaks, But every time I tried to do it, I discovered that I'd already started something else, or there was a reason why I couldn't do it now. And really what it was a bunch of excuses, and it was confronting for me to really get to know myself, which is really great. But it wasn't easy to even get to this point. I realized, even though consciously, I knew that this is what I wanted to do. I had set myself up to do it, but I was still finding myself, as I got closer, I would get these feelings in my body, you know, that familiar feeling. And I was like, something is happening to me. Why is this so hard for me? And I did some inner child work, and I realized it went back to a part of my life where I was a young child, and I was quite good at academics, and I skipped a grade, and I'd already done all the primary school at an age of 8. And then the school stopped progressing me, and I suddenly felt like people were catching up. And what was really interesting was I had a challenging relationship with my parents, but it was the one thing that they would connect with me on. They were like, oh, you're so smart. You're younger than everyone else. And what I realized was that I had a fear that if I took some time off, then people would catch up to me and then I wouldn't be special anymore. Now, as a grown adult, I don't compare against others. I don't even think that way. But there was a program inside of me from a young boy who was just trying to feel special. And that's what I realized I'm having to unwind right now.
I love that you're taking this time for you. You deserve the sabbatical, even though, in a sense, you're somewhat working right now, Finian.
I am. I know,
in this moment.
I know. And it's interesting. I had to work through that. And I had to define, what is the sabbatical really for me? And that's something which I hope people to get really clear whenever you're doing something, like what is vision and what is the outcomes that you want. And I realized it wasn't a sabbatical from creating or doing anything. It was a sabbatical from responsibility. I didn't want to have large responsibility. So team members, I've been an entrepreneur for 13 years. I was an army officer before that. So I've been leading large groups of people for a long time. And it's a great privilege, but it also comes with a lot of concerns and worries and responsibility. I didn't want that. And I also didn't want to feel any feeling of striving or having to do. So the creation phase, that I don't need a sabbatical from that. I love creating and serving. Like this is one of my areas where I get to do that. So I'm actually writing a book right now, but there's no pressure on me. It's a joy. It's an act of joy, which is very different. So that's given me a little bit more freedom.
I hope that inspires some people that need to take that break, but they can create boundaries around it. Like, you do not have to take a break from everything. So happy for you. That is amazing.
Thank you. And I really encourage any listeners to just, if you have the opportunity to take a sabbatical, take it. It doesn't come around that often. Because we're so used to progressing and doing that we often find ourselves in something. And once you're in something, I generally say it's a 5 to 7 year journey. So we've got to be careful what we say yes to, because it's hard to get out of it. And I've definitely seen that with when you end a business, you think you've ended it, and it's always another 3-4 years of paperwork and responsibilities. I've had a divorce, and that's just took. I just sort of finished that journey, and that was a 4-year journey. So we've got to be mindful of when we think we want to end something, it generally takes a lot more time than we realize. And so that's the idea of this sabbatical, is the sabbatical is just take it. Like, if you've been let off, like you don't have employment right now, or you have got divorced, or you sold a business, or just any of these transition points are wonderful triggers for sabbaticals and get to know yourself and really explore what you wanted in this life.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. And also, there are many that might even be listening to this that feel like they've been on a 5-year sabbatical, you know, so maybe we'll be able to pull out some nuggets for them later on in this episode. But first, you've hinted to some nuggets in there, and I am very fascinated by your story. So I'd love to hear it from your voice, from your words, your soul story, and from losing your way to finding your way and then thriving now, and now also needing to find time to take a sabbatical, which is a luxury in and of itself, to be honest. So feel free to walk us through the long version if you'd like, but I'd just love to hear your story.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's beautiful hearing the words that I use about my journey reflected back to me. So I do talk about this path of losing my way, finding my way, and keeping my way. And I feel like this is the evolution of most human beings. We come in, our soul is a wise being. It picks this moment to come into this circumstance at this point of time, and the stars in relying to this sun and into this family, so we can go through an opportunity of growth. And through childhood, we effectively have a bunch of social conditioning, which affects our decision-making, and we have a bunch of subconscious programs operating as we go through life, which effectively put us on a path which might not be our path, and we lose our way. And in a weird way, we have to lose it so much to be able to discover that we've actually lost our way, to almost remember who we are. And we get a glimpse of it. Sometimes it's through a moment like divorce or a injury or a business failure. Mine was definitely through a divorce and also some financial consequences at that time as well. And you suddenly, it feels like for me, definitely what it was I woke up one day and it felt like my spirit has just picked me up and just smashed me on the ground and said, wake up, wake up. And what that resulted in was an incredible journey of waking up and connecting to who I really was. And this life that I was living, even though I thought it was what I wanted and it actually was what I thought my dream life was, wasn't my path. And it was an incredibly confronting moment in my life, because here I was thinking I had achieved my dream vision, and suddenly I was completely shaken up. And just in this moment, I had two ways to really look at it. I could see it as something which I wasn't going to confront, and I'll just distract myself through the typical things that we do, whether it's numbing ourselves through substances, whether it's partying, whether it's being with other women or focusing on business growth, anything we can distract ourselves, which in the short term might feel easier, but in the long term, a lot more confronting. Or I could see it as an opportunity to really go inwards and go on a path of inner exploration. And that's really what I define spirituality is. It's just getting to know yourself. And this was my moment. I knew this was my moment to really embrace the spiritual path. It'd been part of me, but I hadn't 100% integrated into my life. And it led me to walk the Camino del Santiago pilgrimage, which was incredible. And it sat me down in a few months of just doing by myself in a big house and just doing soul work, which was such a gift. And I love that younger version of myself now. I look back and I just go, the courage you had to just do that is remarkable. And I'm getting to live the fruits of that labor now, because now I'm a lot more freer and I'm in a place where I'm truly operate from a place of love. And that was the big thing I realized, was even though I was living a life of intentionality, it was coming from a place of fear. There was subconscious programs operating from my childhood, which were fear-based, and I didn't classify myself as that. But as I reflected on what happened, it really was fear-based. And I've realized that the only way to make decisions now is from a love-based place. And that's how I really lean into my decision-making now.
That's so beautiful. And I completely agree with your grounded perspective on spirituality. That's truly just to get to know us. Also, I love that you are on this mission, or like you say, your personal legend, your purpose is to embody intentionality. And I love that you mention how that was your intention at first, and then now it's more authentic. You've like really put the pieces together and you're truly living from this authentic place, and now you have this freedom. So how does one embody intentionality?
Great. So in the way I define intentionality is it's defining how you want to feel and then taking deliberate action towards it. So in the simplest terms, it's vision plus action. So there's a lot of ways to live out there which are philosophies, and they're high level, and we don't know how to bring it back into our everyday life. And this is what I love about intentionality, is that every moment, really every breath, I like to say you're one breath away from intentionality, because one breath is a moment to pause. It's a moment to interrupt your normal programs and choose a different behavior, which will lead towards where you want to go. And it's important that you know where you need to go, because you could be taking all this action, and I see a lot of people doing this, but it's not aligned with what their true nature really wants for them. So we've got to have the two. So you can live this life by deciding each morning, setting an intention. How do you want to show up today? So mine today was I wanted to bring a lot of joy in everything I did. So I hope we're going to have some joyful moments in this conversation and I've been making those decisions throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, we get to reflect on how did we go against that intention? And if you had another opportunity, which you will tomorrow, what would you do differently? How would you show up? And that's the great path of intentionality, is it's never too late. You're so close. It's just a conscious decision. It's taking back leadership of your life. And when you do this, you can really live an extraordinary life, because you know that life is abundant, it's unlimited, it's divine, it's magical, it's all of the above. And that's what I'm really excited to share with people. And the best way for me to do that is to truly live it myself, which is one of the reasons why I'm on this sabbatical right now.
That's so beautiful. And I think that is a great message for everyone to hear. And they can apply that to not only their work or their relationships, but whatever they do in life. For example, tomorrow I am helping my mom with moving things around, also packing a lot. And though it's such a mundane task, if I wanted to bring joy into that, I can just set the intention to do so and know that it's for her and not think, oh, I'm wasting time doing other things that is not work. You know, I think that we can apply that in things beyond work, beyond relationships. And so I'm glad that you mentioned that. And I think that intentionality is such a beautiful thing to set up for the day. Do you set your intentions daily? Do you set your intentions the night before? Do you set your intentions in the morning? What is your process, if you even have one, like?
I do. So I have a lot of different systems in place to help me embrace these concepts of intentionality. So I have 7 principles of intentionality, and each day I generally look at one of those principles. So for example, what you just mentioned, relates to principle number 6, which is experience fulfillment, not just success, by focusing on desired feelings, not just outcomes. So tomorrow you could be focusing on success, which would be we've moved successfully, and the outcome would be, well, I've got all these tasks, items. But when you want to have something more, you have an opportunity to connect with your mum. So you could feel fulfilled by feeling connected, love, joy. And then suddenly throughout that day, you're going to be interacting differently. When something happens, you might be kinder rather than being shorter. And that's going to give you a whole different experience. So rather than thinking, oh, this is a day wasted, it could be one of the greatest days of your life. You just don't know. That's the great moment when you're open and you allow this possibility, things can flow in. So each morning when I wake up, I put a big smile on my face to just activate the muscle memory, and it actually releases a chemical release, which reminds me that I'm happy, even if I don't feel happy first thing. And I just set an intention, and I think about one of those 7 principles, or I have this blog called The 5 Priorities of an Intentional Being. And we're here to love, we're here to grow, we're here to serve, we're here to have joy, and we're here to create. So sometimes I just pick one of those words. It's grow. I just want to grow today. So I'm there in a state of show zen, that beginner's mindset. And every moment I'm looking at how can I grow? I might challenge myself, or it could be I want to have joy. So I just think about what things would bring me joy and how could I bring joy to that situation. And having those little grounding mechanisms can be really helpful when you notice your ego hijack you, or you're suddenly going into old past patterns and you can realize, I want to break this. I want to break this by taking a new action. And that's really what karma is. Karma literally means action. And you can go in that moment, I'm going to do something different. Right now, I'm going to choose joy, even though my ego is telling me to prove my point or have a fight with my partner. I'm going to just dance or just sing right now in this moment. And just who knows what can come from that day when you do that.
Suddenly, I am strangely more excited to move tomorrow now. And I'm going to set the intention, especially first thing in the morning, to bring more joy to it indeed. And also, I really do love helping my mom. She's such an angel. But I also am curious, have you ever, especially since you talk about keeping your way, which I find fascinating, you know, there are a lot of people that share their stories of losing their way, hitting rock bottom, and then finding their way. And I'm wondering if you ever experienced contrasts where you let all this go, you thought, oh, this is all BS, I don't believe it, and then you came back to it because that's what felt right. If you ever had, and if you haven't, that's fine. I'm just curious if you have.
Raquel every day. That's really the path. Like, everyone thinks that you just get this. Like, people think you have this spiritual enlightened moment. And I can tell you, I had it on the Camino without any substances or anything. It was the first time where I truly understood divine or God or source. I felt connected to every living thing at this moment. Everything was sparkled. Everything made sense. And it was the most wonderful moment of my life. True love came through me. And then, do you think 2 hours later, I was feeling that the exact same state? Now I was. It was feeling pretty good. But a day later, a little irritation happened and I noticed an old pattern come through. And then I started saying, well, you should be better than this. So I started judging myself and started going on this path. And then I remembered, and that's the whole idea, is remember that it's a daily practice. If we didn't think it was a daily practice, why would someone who, like the Dalai Lama, who's one of the most spiritually enlightened person, do you think he doesn't practice? He practices for hours every day. And because we've got to remember, and we have so much conditioning around us, so much influence that we need to keep coming back to. And that's really what intentionality is. And that's what I want to provide to everyone is it's just these daily practices, these behavior changes that you can implement and come back to yourself constantly. And the great thing is just like a muscle, as you train it, it gets a little bit easier. And now I notice that my moments of going off where they used to be, I'd wake up one day and realize, whoa, who have I been for the last 2 weeks? This might happen for 1 hour now. and you can't do as much in 1 hour as you can in 2 weeks, which is nice, as much destruction. And that's where this keeping your way path is just so wonderful. You can put these daily practices in. Yes, it feels like it takes time, but one of the principles of intentionality is people experience exponential outcomes they create exponential outcomes by leveraging energy instead of time. We put a little bit of energy and time in now, and we get more time back because we're not wasting it, because we have higher energy. It's that back to that Zen proverb, if you don't have time to meditate for 1 hour, you need to meditate for two. And this is what these intentionality practices do, which I just think is liberating, because I don't want to get to that path where suddenly I'm like, oh, I lift up my head. And I did this on the Camino one day. This is where I had the realization, where I suddenly looked up, and on the Camino, you have all these yellow signs telling you where to go. And you don't really need to pay attention. And you walk across the whole country of Spain and even start of France, just following these little yellow signs over 500 miles. And you generally can find your way. But one day I was so caught up in my story, in my self-hatred of myself, and just going completely into my egoic self, that I looked up one moment, I realized, wow, I have no idea where I am, and I can't remember the last time I saw a yellow sign. And that was my moment where I realized, it's not good enough to find your way. You've got to keep it. You've got to keep it. You've got to keep looking up, keep that little bit of awareness on it, and then it makes life so much easier. And you still have moments. Trust me, I have moments where I slip constantly, but it's just not as hard to catch up anymore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is so encouraging to hear as well. Yomies, it is time to take advantage of a free 1 month offer from our sponsor, Skillshare. This minute, by going to skillshare.com/yourownmagic. And Skillshare, for those of you who may not know, is an online learning community offering our listeners a free 1 month trial of their premium membership, because you are a human and you are born to create. I like that they wrote this down. And anyway, there are many fascinating classes on Skillshare on topics including illustration, design, photography, animation, productivity, and so much more. The class that I took on Skillshare recently was by Jerome Vogel. It's his digital illustration class, Learn to Use Procreate. Also, one of my favorite YouTubers, Nathaniel Drew, has a few classes on Skillshare. And the one that really catches my eye is Creativity Unleash. Discover, hone, and share your voice online. So, something to keep in mind. And I think it's important to add that Skillshare is not only about creating art, but also building a business and thriving in lifestyle or productivity. So there are a variety of classes, again, that you have at your fingertips. So whether you are a dabbler or an absolute master, you're simply a creative. And that's why Skillshare has classes for every skill level with short lessons, hands-on projects, and classes designed for real life that you can tap into and allow your creative soul to thrive. So Skillshare helps you move your creative journey forward without putting life on hold. You'll create real projects and get the support of fellow creatives so you can accomplish real growth. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/your own magic. One word, your own magic, where our listeners get a 1 month free trial of their premium membership. That's 1 month free at skillshare.com/your own magic. Take advantage of this offer while it lasts. And now on with the show.
So I've actually sold wealth enhancers.
No way.
In one form now. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons I've had a sabbatical, but I've actually transitioned it into financially happy.
Okay, let's do this.
Wealth Enhancers, we were the first millennial financial advice coaching company in Australia, because traditionally the financial world is all built on retirees and wealthy people. They don't speak to the young people, and it's almost like, oh, once you get this amount of money, then we'll communicate with you. And that infuriated me. So after dealing with that type of business, I then set up a business which spoke to younger people, and it was a great business, great evolution, but I realized there were still limitations in the way financial advice was delivered. And I wanted to be able to bring my philosophy and the actionable-based tools in a way that everyone could access it, whether you had money or whether you didn't, whether you were in Australia or not. So that's where I've launched Financially Happy. And it's about connecting money with spirituality. It's this idea that I'm a big believer that money is a spiritual tool. When you think about it, it is one of the greatest connectors of all of us. And if we're on the spiritual path, we realize that what we're trying to do is come back to us. And I say us as one. And money is a way that connects us, just like the internet does as well. So we need to understand that money is just energy, and it's a representation of who we are and what we value and what's important to us. And we need to have a really positive relationship with it, because when we have a high vibrational relationship with energy, because that's effectively what it is, it goes and it has an impact on other people. So this is the problem which we're committed on solving, and we're really excited about it. It's an incredible program. We start with your money story, and we talk about that is everyone has a money story, and it's a combination of your family of origin and also your timeline of relationships with money, of how it's come up in your life. And through that, you build a relationship with money. We did a bunch of research and created 12 different archetypes of money. We call them the money saboteurs. And there's 12 of them, just like the gambler or the dependent or the child or the irresponsible or the hoarder, just naming some of them. And without realizing that you may have these playing up in your life, and basically you're set up for failure. You might be like, I want this. Why can't I do this, even though I want this? And it's because you actually have these saboteurs inside of you. Think of it as like faulty code. And we need to bring them to the surface. We need to put awareness on them. So then we can start accepting them and then start identifying the behaviors that we need to change. And then when we do that, we become liberated and we can actually start loving money. And that's what I really want everyone to do. Like, I want everyone to love money and just see it as it's an abundant resource. It's infinite. It really can help us achieve the life that we want.
I think that this is absolutely brilliant. I would love to walk through one of the saboteurs or just share some practical tips, providing some pillars on, you know, help us climb to greater financial success and abundance and have a stronger and better relationship with money and have a higher vibrational relationship with this energy.
Yeah, so I can definitely talk you through that. So what we need to first understand is that there's a feedback loop that's happening within us at all points of time, and it's a closed feedback loop. So if we have a belief about money, that's the subconscious program that's in us. It could be that we've been told that money doesn't grow on trees or money is dirty. Now, when we think about that, that belief, that core belief, which we may not even have awareness that it's part of our life right now, is going to be sending off a bunch of different thoughts. One belief can send off 1,000 different thoughts. So it could be that I can't attract money into my life, or that money is hard to come by. It will start bringing these different things into our life, which then creates certain behaviors in our life. So it starts thinking, well, if you think that, then you're not going to apply for the higher paying job, or you're not going to invest your money because that could seem risky. So a bunch of different things, which then gives you this feeling that money is hard to come by, which just reinforces that belief. And then it gets stronger and gets stronger. And over time, it reinforces your belief. So it's very hard to change core beliefs. The only thing that we can really change is behaviors. That's what we have control over. We don't have control over our thoughts, but we have control over how we respond to our thoughts. There's that little moment when we take a breath, we can go, okay, I don't want to react to that. I want to choose a different behavior, which might bring that in. And when we do that, then it gives a little bit of a different feeling, which then can create a new belief. And over time, suddenly you're in a really wonderful state. So I can walk you through a saboteur to give you an example of. Is there a particular one that you would like?
Do you mind listing the 12 just so we could all listen and be like, okay, perhaps I feel like, without knowing much about it yet, but could potentially be that one.
Yeah.
Just to pique our curiosity. And yeah, I'm just curious first about the 12, and then I would just love to walk through any of them, whichever one comes to heart for you.
Perfect. So the 12 are the child, the gambler, the doormat. We call them the irresponsibles. That's the collective trait. Then there's the inactions, which are the entitled, the procrastinator, and the delusional. Then we have the worthiness issues, which are the compensator, the controller, the repeller.
Mm.
And then we have the fearfuls, which are the hoarders, the victims, and the dependents.
Oh, I'm so curious now, like a little summary of each one of them. You don't not have to, but I'm just so curious because they sound so interesting.
Oh, I can definitely give you a good summary. All right, so let's get into it. So the child. So this would be a story or a belief. I can't take responsibility for money because it's too complicated and confusing. Someone else should look out for me and take care of my money situation. And then the gambler, the present moment isn't good enough for me, so I'm willing to jeopardize it all for a shot at a better life, even if it means destroying and losing everything I already have. The doormat, other people's needs are more important than mine. The entitled, the world and other people owe me. I deserve to be taken care of. The procrastinator, even though I know my money management is important, I'll get to it another time. The delusional, I believe it will all work out even though I have no plan.
I've been there.
The compensator, I am not enough. People won't like me if they know who I really am. Money can buy my happiness and love. The controller, I can control my situation through controlling my money. If I can control the situation, I can't get hurt. Having power over others puts me in control. The repeller, I'm not worthy of receiving money, abundance, or opportunities. I believe money is an either or, not an and. You can't have both spirituality and be wealthy.
Okay, I've had that mindset before.
Yep. The hoarder, I need to keep all my money and all my things to feel safe. If I don't take care of myself, no one else will. The victim, it's not my fault that I'm in this situation. And the dependent, I can't provide for myself on my own. Relying on someone else is the easiest option. So you can see that these 12 ones, and you resonate. And it is important to know that we all effectively have all 12 of them in some way in us. They might be very low, but what I focus on is just identify your top three, and then you can work through them. And we have thoughts related to that belief. We have then behaviors which often happen. And then we have emotions. So for example, which was one that you connected with? It was...
Well, I've been the delusional indeed many times. Also the other one? I've been the dependent as well when I was in college though. I don't know if that totally counts.
Yeah.
It kind of does though. It does count. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the dependent and what was the other one? There was another one that I, it was just like me Right. I can't remember that.
So let's look at the delusional, for example. So
the repellent. I think it was repellent. That one, where it's like you can't have both spirituality and yes.
That's a really good one, and it's a common one I find with a lot of people in the spiritual communities, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, indeed.
Yeah, and it holds them back, and I see it. Yeah. I've lived in spiritual communities before, and I've seen it, and what happens is money ends up interfering with their spiritual growth because they say they don't care about it and it doesn't matter, but actually they care about it more than a lot of people who have a lot of money. They're thinking about it and it's holding them back. So when we look at this, so let's say the repeller, the thoughts that they have related to that belief is, I'm not someone who makes a lot of money, but I'm happy because of it. Others are better than me. If I made more money, I'd be more successful and more like those people. Things can be too good to be true. So we start having these thoughts, which reinforces a behavior. So for example, instead of we're starting to feel a little bit of not feeling valued in a job, so we'll quit instead of asking for a raise. Or we might energetically push away abundance. They don't recognize or take opportunities when they arise. And the feelings that they get from that, they feel inferior, they feel submissive, they feel sad, and they may feel some resentment. And think about that in those spiritual communities. When we start having that, what happens? It creates separation. And the whole part of the spiritual community is to connect. We're meant to have wholeness and connection. So it actually does the opposite from what we think.
Amen. Yes. Thank you for saying this. I could not agree more.
Thank you so much. And it's all because I see what happens in a lot of these groups of people or people talking about it. And I observe and I'm like, why are you saying these things? Your behaviors are doing the opposite from what we want. We want more and more connection. It's just like this idea that we can't fight hate with hate. I know there's a lot of sad things that are going on in the world right now, but hate and creating more division isn't the way to go. We just need to love and educate and believe that that's more powerful than any fear-based emotion. And I truly believe that to the core because I've seen it myself. So when we get this awareness, we have an opportunity, and that's the first step of the financially happy model is intentional clarity. You get clarity of your situation, and when you have awareness, you can accept it. And it's not about, it's important not to go in shame because you've just discovered a saboteur. We need to go, okay, I accept that. I take responsibility for it. I am not putting a positive or negative emotion to it. I'm just neutral to it. And now I can start seeing, how is this showing up in my life? How is this affecting my experience of life? And how is it potentially causing conflict with what it is that I really want for my life? And then when you have that experience, you can start getting enough of an impulse to go, I don't want that. I want a different way. And we can start leaning on some of these tools and choosing different behaviors and combining with basically our higher guides and transform ourselves. And before we know it, we've transformed a part of ourselves, and that's how we create really abundance. It's these tiny little behavioral changes, which before we know it, changes. And that's one of the greatest challenges with the money experiences is that our mind thinks in a linear way. We think that if we have this amount of money now, then we'll have this amount of money plus more in a particular amount of time. But money, and like most things in life and growth, operates on an exponential curve. And that means that tiny little behavior changes could lead to huge transformations on the other end. And I've seen people who have been in credit card debt and then they followed this program, they put in some systems, and within a few years, they were millionaires. And it wasn't from their investment return. I can tell you that. It wasn't from suddenly getting a crazy crypto return or anything like that. It was they started opening up a portal to abundance. And then they were like, well, there is something going on in the crypto world right now. Maybe I could take an opportunity there. Maybe I could ask for a pay rise. And things start opening up. And before they know it, they're living in a completely different situation. And it's not for me. It's not about saying we want you to just get rich for the sake of it. We want you to be financially happy, which is this idea that you can be both happy and wealthy now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to sacrifice the now to become wealthy. You can truly be happy right now and wealthy at the same time. And wealthy is a state of mind. And when you truly connect with abundance, you realize that you've always got enough. And before you know it, you keep having more and more. And it's one of my favorite quotes about abundance, which I know you had Wayne Dwyer's daughters on recently, which was a really, really great, really great podcast. But abundance is not something we acquire, it's something we tune into. It's the feeling, as Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about, you need to feel it now. If you're going into a meditation and trying to attract abundance, but as you're doing that, you're feeling scarce, then all you're doing is going to attract scarcity. So we need to feel abundance. You need to start looking at all the incredible things that are in our life right now. Like if we can't think that we're abundant right now, we are more abundant than the richest people 100 years ago, the common person now. Like we have flushing toilets, we have electricity, we have access at a button, we can have food arrive at our door. It truly is abundant when you look at what we have. But often what people are doing is they're trapped in the prison of comparison. They're comparing to someone else. And I talk about that, when you're in that prison of comparison, you can't have joy because there's always more. There's always someone who has better things. And we need to escape that to really feel liberated and feel just an opportunity where you can really love your life and focus on your path. And that's principle number 5, which is escape the prison of comparison by focusing on your path and what steps you can take today. You can take some steps today. And that's what I inspire you to do, is just come off one thing and go, find out my money saboteur, or look at my money story and see how that's impacting me today. And then tomorrow I'm going to choose differently. And who knows, your life could be better than what you could even dream of, because most people don't even give themselves permission to dream.
That is very, very true. And thank you for all of this information. And I'm curious about the tiny little behavior changes. If you can share a few of them that all of us can potentially make after we figure out which saboteur we are and we wake up tomorrow, what are a couple tiny little behavior changes we are likely to make, or what might help us along the path?
Great. So I love action-based, so I'm so glad we've gone into this. So once you identify your money saboteur, you and I can send a link to have this access to your followers afterwards. I'll give this as a free resource to go through this quiz.
Thank you.
It will then give you a bunch of ideas of how do you can change that behavior. So it might be, for example, if you're the compensator, then your behavior change tomorrow is you won't offer to shout everyone. You'll agree to split the tab. Or it could be if you're the child, you stop using your credit card. I highly recommend most people stop using their credit card. It's just something what ends up catching up with you. So we look at these different situations. It might be that you start tracking your money, just so you have awareness of it. You could start automating your money so that you have savings going into savings, you have money going to investments, you have your bills being paid. So you make sure you have money going into things that you value, for example, health or travel. So then you're never having to wonder whether you can do it. You know exactly whether you can or not, because the money is already allocated. So these tiny little behavior changes are wonderful. I talk about this concept of budgeting. Budgeting isn't limiting. It's liberating, it's freeing. When you have a budget properly, they're positive constraints, and it means that you're not going to spend money on things that you don't care about, and it means that you get liberation. You get to have the freedom to spend money on whatever you really care about, because it's there and you get the permission to do it without any of the guilt or the financial hangover that we like to talk about. So just thinking about that, and there's a great little tool that I talk about, which is the 4 yes test. And when we do that, this is something that you could implement in your life straight away, which is something which I'd love for your readers to do. So the 4 yes test is basically when we're thinking about doing a purchase, we go through these 4 questions and make sure that we say yes to all of them. So first is, do I have the budget? So that means it's not just that money is there, it's that you've actually intentionally allocated money to this thing. So yes, I've done that. So for example, I'm on a trip to Nicaragua right now. I've been putting money away in a travel account. I was wanting to go on a cool experience tomorrow. Yes, I have the budget. Will this purchase increase my happiness? yeah, it will increase my happiness. I get to go to an amazing treehouse with my girlfriend. I feel like that's going to increase my happiness. Does this purchase align with my values? Yes, my values are love, trust, aliveness, and freedom. What's more loving and freeing and feeling alive than being in a treehouse with a bunch of monkeys and my girlfriend? That feels wonderful. That aligns my values. And finally, will this purchase move me closer to my goals? And my goal right now is play. It's inner exploration. It's a feeling of not having to do anything. Yes. So I get a yes on all four of them. I go for it. And I feel so excited. I don't have a single regret about spending that money. I get so much pleasure from spending that money. If I don't get yes to all of those fours, I have to question and go, well, is this really, really right for me? Now, it's not saying that you can't do it, but what I want you to realize is that when you say yes to that, you're saying no to something else in your life. And you might be saying no to something that you answer yes to all four of those questions. And then that's why you don't feel fulfilled or really happy. So go through those four yes tests. So it's, do I have the budget? Will this purchase increase my happiness? Does this purchase align with my values? Will this purchase move me closer to my intentions and goals? And if you just do that every day, you're financially happy. You're already on that path, and all the other things, all the other systems will start happening for you. It can be that simple.
Brilliant. I'm so thankful for that action-based practical advice. And that's so wise to ask those four questions beforehand. You're going to be sending us, what is it, a free quiz for assessing which saboteur we are?
Yeah, that's right. And it's really cool. It goes through, it's like I'm sure people have done personality profiles before, like the DISC or Myers-Briggs. Yeah. So this is one of them. And you're going to realize, wow, this makes a whole lot of sense. I understand why I do what I do and I'm not where I want to be. And you could start having a playbook of how to change it.
That's brilliant. Do you have any other messages you'd like to share before we go on to rapid fire? And I don't know if you have a hard stop anytime soon.
No, I've got plenty of time, perfect. So I'm completely open. No, so with the money thing, I just really encourage everyone to just explore it. It's part of our life. It doesn't matter who you are. You can't avoid having a relationship with money. So wouldn't you rather a positive, empowering, uplifting, freeing relationship with money? And when we do that, it enables us to go further on the spiritual path, enables us to go at this place where we can serve. We can do so much more when we take that one part of our life out of it. And once you do this exploration and you make the commitment to make the changes that you need, you actually transform yourself. How liberating is that?
Very much so. Very much so. All right. You ready for rapid fire?
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to start off easy at first. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
What kind of tea?
So I love lemon and ginger teas. I love Egyptian licorice. I do every morning. I make my own sort of lemon, lime and ginger sort of honey sort of mix, which I love as well.
Love that. How about preferred form of exercise?
It would be, I like a lot of cross training, but I'm a huge skier. That's why I moved to Aspen, Colorado. I love skiing. I ski 100 days a year. So anything in the mountains, but I'm also a cyclist, mountain biker, trail runner. Love it all.
So cool. Very outdoorsy. Mm-hmm. Nicaragua must be like heaven.
It's so good. My biggest challenge here right now is that there's too many things to do.
That's not the worst challenge to have. Not the worst challenge to have. Yeah. Is there something that potentially scares you? Anything that scares you?
Yes.
Like ghosts?
Yeah, not ghosts. So what scares me is when I feel like I am aware of myself and then I discover that I'm not. When I'm in a reactionary pattern, that scares me because I'm like, wow, I just got hijacked. So that's something which has definitely evolved over time and I love that side of myself now. But I used to be scared of snakes, but I've conquered them now. I actually find them quite wonderful. Like I get excited when I see a snake on my path. So I do believe you can override most things with fear when you just choose love, 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 love.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that and being so honest and vulnerable. How about proudest accomplishment?
I've got two. One was I participated in a documentary with National Geographic called Undercover Angel, where I went into an underprivileged community and went undercover and then had to fund and build a whole project, which is I went to Bulgaria. So that was amazing. And we could probably spend a whole lot of time on that. It was so remarkable. And then I had just had one. I just led my first intentionality river expedition. We had 25 incredible people who were on the Yampa River for 5 days, and I led this breathwork journey in a cave after a cacao ceremony. It was remarkable. And it was just this moment where I was like, this is so cool. Like, I've done something right in my life that I'm getting to do this right now.
Oh, that sounds like heaven. That's amazing. That's so cool. Yeah,
we have to get you on the next one.
I think I might do that. I'm very intrigued indeed. I'll tell you that. Okay. So one of your accomplishments that I find fascinating is that you were on the Australian Defence Force at the young age of 17. Like, what? That's wild. Anyway, I'm just curious of your most, I know that you have so many, but one that comes to mind right now, a valuable lesson that you took away from being the force's youngest officer and leading up to like 100 soldiers.
Yeah, I've got a couple of good ones. So one is just make a decision. That was the biggest thing we learned in officer training was people want to follow you. You're already in a position of authority, but you need to make a decision. And it's all right if it's the wrong one, because you'll quickly adjust and learn and get yourself into the right one. And that's so applicable in life. So many people don't take action because they're worried that it's not the perfect thing, or they don't produce the video or the book or whatever it is because they're fearful. And you can always make it better. Just get it out there. And then you have actual some feedback from life and you realize, oh, maybe that isn't as important to me as what I thought, or maybe I'm better than this than I thought. And you get some inspiration. So making a decision is really, really important. And the other thing for me is just, it's been my life. It's really, if you're not happy, do something about it. Like, just change something and lean in. And I really learned that. Like, I wasn't happy in the end of the Australian Defence Force, and I changed my circumstances, changed my situation, and it set off a whole another trajectory in my life.
Wow, that's beautiful. Wow, yeah, definitely did send off a whole another trajectory. Indeed. Yeah. What book are you reading currently, if any?
So I literally just started a new book. So I'm reading a book called Columbio, which is by Rusty Young. He's an Australian author, and I read his book Marching Powder like 15 years ago, and it was one of my favorite fictional like travel books. So it's actually non-fictional. It's based on his story. And I ended up meeting him I didn't realize we got these awards from the university I went to. And the dean said, oh, this person, Rusty Young's here. And I was like, Rusty, the author? And we got to meet, and I was just messaging him because I'm about to go to Columbia. And he said, you've got to read this book that I wrote. So I'm reading that. And I'm also reading, it is Leaning into Fear, which is an interesting story about how we can choose love instead of fear.
Which is basically one of your life messages. Perfect.
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite TV show?
I do. I really love... Oh, I just watched a new one, actually. I quite enjoyed it. It was The Startup, which was about the cryptocurrency fund, which was really good. It was a little bit of play. I love... actually Shameless. It's just It just makes me laugh, and it just gives me perspective on everyday people, and I love them for it. Absolutely. I love that energy, so I really enjoy that show too.
What advice would you give to your 16-year-old self?
Just go have play and realize that it's all going to work out great for you, and that you are enough. You're love, and you are loved.
Ugh, right there. Now, this is the last question that I ask all the Your Own Magic guests. How would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
I would say realize that you are magic. And when you realize that you are magic, it just, everything you do is a creation of magic. So you're just living and breathing it. And the way to do that is when you wake up first thing in that morning, like, don't live the familiar patterns of the past. It's something that Dr. Joe Dispenza refers about. It's like, choose something different and explore and look between the lines and see if you can find the love and joy and play in different situations. And then you are your magic. And I know that's your magic, Raquel, and I love that about you and everyone you bring on. Like, we all have our own form of magic.
Absolutely. And you definitely have many different forms of magic, and you shared a lot of different nuggets here, and you're full of even more wisdom than you could even possibly share in this short window of time. So where can everyone connect with you?
Well, so the best place would go to the link, which is finiankelly.com/podcast. And there you'll get a bunch of resources which will help you take action today. That's what I really want you to do. You'll just be able to learn about a number of different tools that will bring more intentionality in life. And then once you're on there, you'll go down my general path.
So great. So great. And then also in social, do you have social media? Do you have an Instagram or anything?
Yeah, I do. It's at the Finian Kelly. The Finian Kelly.
The Finian Kelly. Yeah. Finian, this has been so wonderful. So great. I'm so jealous you're in Nicaragua. Can't even say it. Nicaragua. That's one of my bucket list places, but this has been such a wonderful conversation, and I've been meaning to have a financial expert on to talk about not only just finances or just some helpful advice, but also, you know, bringing in the spiritual aspect to it, which you did. And so thank you so much for that.
It was an absolute pleasure, and I just feel so grateful to have this opportunity to meet with you and connect with all of your wonderful followers.
Thank you so much. I know. I feel so grateful too. Yomis, that is a wrap. That is a wrap for this episode. I hope that something spoke deeply to you, expanded you in some way. Please let me know if so. You can catch me on Instagram at Raquel Mantra. I spell Raquel a different way than most, so you can see the spelling in the show notes. Or hang out with the Yomis, the like-minded, very conscious and expansive and helpful souls on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. Especially a place to turn to when it comes to, well, whatever you're going through. And there are several tools on the EuroMagic.life membership site. All right, well, thank you so much, and have a magical rest of your day.